like to learn Mandarin. You know, so many of you speak Mandarin and are so good in Mandarin. I'm Cantonese. I can speak Cantonese, but I cannot speak Mandarin. So that is one thing that I would like you to help me. Speak to me in Mandarin, and I will try to speak to you in English. Anyways, let's ask the Lord to bless our time together. Lord, we want to ask that you come amongst us now and open up your word, that your word becomes alive and living as it reaches us, so that, Lord, we will have something to take away, something that will profit us, encourage us to go on and to be a light for you, and that our hearts will be rejoicing as we live our lives, our little lives here on this earth. So we pray as we open up your word this morning for your spirit to lead us along and to show us what you would like us to learn and to adhere to. We ask and give you thanks in Christ Jesus' name. Amen. This morning, I would like us to turn to 1 Corinthians. If you have your Bible, to turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 16. Here Paul, when he writes his letter to the Christian in Corinth, comes to the end of his first letter. And at the end of his first letter, he gives a very brief, concise exhortation or encouragement. And that's found in verse 13. And after all the things that he has written to the Christians in Corinth, he writes this as he comes to a close. He said in verse 13 of chapter 16 of 1 Corinthians, "Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong. Watch, stand fast in the faith, be brave, be strong." Well, that is something that is so positive, isn't it? Something that we can really rally our lives around and embrace. First, Paul says, watch, as it comes to the end of the chapter, the letter. What is Paul trying to say here? Watch concerning what? Watch for what? Is a natural a question to ask. Well, we have been taught in Scripture in the New Testament that we are to watch for the coming of the Lord. For his coming is like a thief in the night. When you least expect it, when you least think that he would come, that's when he would come. So we are to watch out for that. I think this speaks to me a lot, watching this verse here, because see, I was saved many years ago. I was 13 years old at that time, at a camp, a young people's camp. And there, the preacher was speaking on a night meeting. He says, the Lord is coming. When? We don't know. And he says, if he should come now, you know how soon he could come? We could have come. You might already have been gone. If that was the Lord's coming, and it could have very well been. The question is, how many of you will be sitting still in your seat? How many of you would have risen with Christ? And how many of you, though you have heard and understood the gospel, have not embraced your Savior? That spoke really to me, because I went to Sunday school. I was actually very much involved in church at that time as a young fella. I was singing, I was enjoying the songs, I was enjoying the Bible study and the Sunday school, and I was good friends with everyone around, even with the adults. But when I was sitting there and I was asked, if the Lord were to come, that could have been, it's already another opportunity. You missed the first one, he's giving you another one. One of these days, that's the third opportunity. One of these days, it will be the last. How many of you will still be sitting here? Even though you know very well what Christ did on the cross, that he didn't die there on his own. He had all the powers in the world to raise the dead, to walk on water, to turn water into wine, to still the wind and the waves. And it is easy to believe in Jesus Christ as God, because how many people can raise someone from the dead? How many people can cleanse someone from leprosy just by telling them? And how many people can give sight to the blind just by telling them, you see? Or walk. If you cannot walk, walk. Lame, walk. How many people can do that? The question is none. And now there is this Jesus that comes along and he can do all this. He must be God. If there is someone in this world right at this moment that can do that, the whole world will be turning to him. So it's easy to believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that he came down as God, he took upon the human flesh. So it's easy. If you don't believe that Jesus is God, then something is not quite clear with your thinking. However, where people stumble is this, is that why is this who is Jesus, who is God, why is he hanging on the cross? That stumbles a lot of people. Why is he hanging on the cross in shame and blood and people spearing at him, shouting insult at him? Why? So, you must answer the question for yourself. If he is God, why is he hanging there? If he has all the power to come down, why is he hanging there? There could be only one reason. He chose to hang there. He chose not to come down. He chose not to deliver himself. Why did he choose to do that? Well, the Bible tells us very clearly. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. That he chose there, he was bearing my punishment, that he was my substitute, so that when God says the soul that sin it shall die, and I'm supposed to die. Now God says, Christ has died for you. My son, who is sinless, who does not deserve death, took upon himself dying. And if you can bring yourself with all your pride to recognize that Christ, yes, Christ died for me. He paid for all my sins. And I do not need to die anymore. Why would I want to die? Why would you want to die? If the God of the universe took himself upon himself to become man to save you, why would you want to die? So, says, Lord, you are my substitute. You died in my stead. I believe that you died for me. That is the only reason why you did not come down from the cross. That is the reason why you bore all the shame. The shame that I should have borne myself. If my life were open up before you, if you could see all my thoughts, all my thinking, all my actions done when no one else could see, Lord, that shame, you bore it on that cross for me. And I take you as my Savior. Christianity is the most liberating, if you want to call it religion. I call it a relationship because it's a broken relationship between me and God. A relationship is man trying to reach God, making his own ways, doing his own thing, and coming up with all kinds of instructions to how to do this and pray and do this and pay and get to God. That's religion. Do good. But the Bible says, I'm not good enough. Nothing that I can do is good enough to earn myself a place in heaven. And I need only to come and to accept the truth that I am not good enough. And all I need to do is embrace what God has said, that he so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. All I need to do is embrace that. It's the most, I do not need to pretend when I come that I'm good enough. It's the most liberating religion. You know, you go to some places and you gotta pretend that you are the person that you are not, you know, you don't need to pretend. Because God knows you in and out. If he can number all the stars and call them by name, the very hair on your head is known to him. How many? He knows what you have done and what you have not done. When you should have done it, the good that you have done, that you should have done. And he says, you don't need to pretend. You just need to come in humility, with a contrite heart, and say, Lord, I'm not good enough. I will never have a place in heaven. But thank God that Christ Jesus died for me. All you need to do is that. And so that watching there says, Christ says, I'm coming again for you. If I go, I will come again so that you will, and take you to be with myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. So he's coming back. When he's coming back, and it can be, that's another opportunity. If you have not believed in Christ, that could have been his coming. And it's forever too late. Forever too late today. So while you have the opportunity, today is the day of salvation, the scripture says. Believe. Take him as your Savior. But why would you delay? Why would you want to take the chance? Watch. He's coming. You know, watching is not waiting for the Christians. Watching is different from waiting. You know, I can tell you, you see, I'm kind of dark. I'm not really this dark all the time. I kind of have a tan right now because I was fishing. I was at Lake Tan Kwa Lake. And when I'm out fishing on the boat with my rod and my, I'm not just waiting for the fish, you know, to bite. Because if I'm waiting for the fish to bite, then you know what I'll be, sometimes I do, read my phone, look at look at the book, or look around, and then wait for, you know, the fish to strike. But most often, when I'm out there fishing, I'm actually watching. Seriously, I was watching. You know how I watch? You see, I throw the line out, and at the end of my line, there's a bobber, a float. Okay? And I'm looking at this float, and I'm looking at it intently, even though it may be far away. And if there are a few floats around, if my son and my wife and my daughters are, I'll be looking at this float, and I'll be looking at that float, and I'll be looking at this float or the bobber. Why? Because the moment the float goes down, guess what? Fish. Fish has eaten, taken the bait, and pulled it down. So I got to be ready and careful to reel it in. And so I'm watching. I'm not just waiting and twiddling my thumb. A few times I was twiddling my thumb and waiting, and the fish got away. Waited too long. Watching. So the Christians are told not only just to wait around, but it's told to watch. Every day when I wake up, and some Christians, some older Christians, they are very good at this. Perhaps when they wake up, they say, perhaps today, Lord, you're coming. And when they go to bed, perhaps tonight, Lord, you're coming. So, the Lord is coming. How then shall we live? All the money in this world is not going to be worth anything to you. I don't think they use Canadian dollars in heaven. So there's no need to take it with you. They don't need the gold because the streets there are paved with gold. So there's no need to take all the treasures with you. But what we can bring with us is what is pleasing to God in our lives. So watch. Paul could also be saying, watch for all the pitfalls. Because when he was writing 1 Corinthians is supposed to be a letter written to a church in disarray, or a church in great confusion. They were young Christians, perhaps. They weren't quite sure what was, but more often it was their, what was left behind. As soon as they become Christians, there were things that tacked on and that they didn't cut off. So Paul is saying that he told them, be careful of contention. So you guys are quarreling among yourselves. You are divided. You say, I'm of Paul. And some guys say, I'm of Apollos. And some guys say, better still, I'm of Christ. Trump them all. I'm a winner. I'm of Christ. So there were divisions among themselves. Paul could be saying, watch out for division. Paul could be saying in 1 Corinthians chapter 3, watch out for carnality, the carnal mind, the mind that is worldly, the mind that is full of strife, full of envy, full of self, full of partisan spirit. He says, watch out for that because it can easily happen in our lives, in the church. Watch out for boasting. Let him who boasts in the Lord. So we could be boasting in the things that we have. We could be boasting in the fame that we have, the pride of life. So Paul could be warning them of that. So we ought also to watch in our own lives. This morning I spoke about taking stock, taking inventory of how our lives as Christians are different from before we got saved. Because there must be a difference, right? Christ is the difference. He made a change. The Spirit of God comes and indwells us, makes us the sons and daughters of God, the children of God, and gives us a new nature, so that we follow after the new nature, put on the new nature. There must be a difference. And so, watch out for all the things that are tagging on negative. The old man, don't let it surface. Put it away. Anger, malice, unforgiveness. So he says, watch. The next thing he says here is, stand fast in the faith. Stand fast in the faith. To stand fast in the faith means, what do you mean by stand fast? You know, if you watch Chinese Kung Fu movies, I'm not a Kung Fu guy, but when before they fight, they will stand fast. Because it's very important. Your footing is very important. You must not move. Right? You have to hold your ground. A boxer has to hold his ground. So too the Christians are told to stand fast. Be vigilant. Be ready. And so, our foot is not to slip. Very often, we allow our foot to slip. Instead of, as Christians, going back to the Word of God and taking encouragement from the Word of God, we look at ourselves and we cry. Right? We look at our situations and we grow discouraged. We look at our problems and we say, ah, yeah. So Paul is saying, stand fast. Stand fast in what? Stand fast in the faith. What's the faith? The faith is that all that is delivered to you by the Holy Spirit in the Word of God, all that is given, the body of faith that is given, stand fast in that. God has given you everything that is pertaining to life and to living. And so we can go back to the promises of God, His assurance that He's a faithful God, His assurance that He will not fail His people. We can go back to that and stand on that. And Ephesians chapter 6 says, having done all, stand. Having done all, stand. The question is, have you done all? What is Paul referring to having done all? Done all in what? Done all in putting on the whole armor of God. Right? Putting on the whole armor of God, that when the devil attacks us, we are not, there is no nothing that he can pierce. You know, the devil knows exactly where our weaknesses is. Did you realize that? I think you probably realized that already, right? He knows exactly what our weaknesses are. This is for sure, even as unbelievers. We are not sinners alike. But be sure, we are all sinners. We are not all sinners alike means we don't have the same sins, you know. Some of us are given to drinking. Some of us are given to lying. Some of us are given to pornography. Some of us are given to stealing, cheating. So all the world, everyone is a sinner. But someone's weakness in sin is not the same as yours. You may be caught in gambling. He may be caught in drinking. He may be caught in something else. So you and I, we have to stand fast. We have to put on the whole armor of God, knowing that what our weaknesses are, because the devil is going to exploit them. Because the Bible says, beware, the devil as a roaring lion is going to devour. So the devil as a roaring lion is waiting. And you must stand fast. And you must stand your ground upon Scripture. So stand fast, it says. And then it says, be in the faith. The next thing it says is, be brave. Be brave. Or in the King James Version, it says, quit ye like men. That's a little bit difficult to understand. Quit ye like men. Or in simple terms, be brave. How to be brave? So very often, I tell you this. I was, let's turn to this verse that I embrace and I like. It's 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. Did I say 1 Timothy? Or is it 2 Timothy? Sorry, it's 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 7. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. For God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Be brave. I tell you, a few years ago, I wasn't very brave. Before we came to Canada as new immigrants, in the 80s, not 80s, early 2000, I was in a depression. I was actually in a nervous breakdown. I tell you, it's a terrible experience, a nervous breakdown depression. You don't seem to be able to get out of it. There were too many things that were loaded on me. We were about to come, and there were some medical issues. There were business that I had to wind up and come to Canada. And there's so many things that were on my mind. And then, without knowing it, I think I must have had a nervous breakdown. Because any little thing would, I would be afraid. I hear a noise, I'm scared. Literally, as a man of 38 years old, I was scared. I hear boom, a noise in the kitchen, I'm scared. And I'm fearful of this and fearful of that. I'm looking out the door every day just for my wife to come back from her teaching. It was a terrible time. And this one verse that I used to go to and says, for God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. You know, it's only now looking back and thinking back, you know what? One of the problems probably I had was I did not commit my ways to the Lord enough. I was trying to take on all these heavy issues on my own, and I thought I could. And the scripture says, let a man take heed. If a man thinks he stands, let him take heed, lest he falls. Right? If a man thinks he is strong, let him take heed, lest he falls. So I was trying to take on all these challenges on my own, and I did not take it enough to the throne of grace, that God is ultimately my strength, that I had a fall emotionally. So the scripture says, be brave. Not be brave in yourself, because you know how frail we are. Really, we are very frail. You know, 2 weeks ago, someone had to administer CPR on me. I went for a walk with my wife, to cut the story very short, after dinner. This was in Fraser Heights, where all the houses were all built up, and there was a path in between the houses. We went through the concrete path, and partway, maybe for about 20 feet or so, there were some bushes and trees around there, and I walked through that, and after walking through that, I felt strange, something happening in my head. I felt lightheaded, I felt something was not right. I took an antihistamine, walked again for another 2-3 minutes. I took another histamine because I knew that it was very bad. So we got home. And within 15 minutes of me walking through that path, or 20 minutes, and we got home, and I sat there, I collapsed in front of the bathroom. My wife and my daughters were help holding me because I was so weak. I collapsed. And when I collapsed, you know what? A minute or so, a doctor friend came through the door, and he looked at me and said, this, what's happening? My wife had called him and said, I'm not well. He said, I'll come over. And I was laying there, and he looked at me and says, this guy is, his body is like a dead person, white, no blood. Then he was feeling for my pulse, no pulse, no pulse. 20 minutes ago, I was walking, having lunch, having dinner, walking around, and then I was lying there, motionless, no pulse. I was dying. And then he resuscitated me. And then the paramedics came, took me to the hospital. It was what we call an anaphylactic shock, or anaphylaxis. Reaction to some allergy. That's how frail we are, right? That's how frail I am. I don't know about you. Maybe you're stronger than me. But hey, we're still human. We're still human. We need the Lord. We cannot do it on our own. We need the Lord. People need the Lord. He is their maker. He is their creator. He is a sustainer. Our times are in His hands. So, watch out. Be brave. Not in yourself. Be afraid. Only in one person. In the God of the universe, the God who created us. And then be strong. Finally, be strong. Christians ought to be strong, but their strength is this, is when they recognize that they are weak, then they can be strong. What an irony. When they recognize that when they are weak, then they can be strong. It's only when they recognize that I cannot do this on my own. Lord, help me. Lord, I am weak. I cannot help myself, but only You can help me. And in You are all the resources that I need. Then and only then you can be strong. Because then you will be going out in the power of the living God. Then you will realize that it is not me, Kevin, that is able to do this. It's God who is behind me. And it's God's name that is behind me. And it is Him that will not fail. Kevin will fail. You will fail. But in Him, I can be strong. Because God cannot fail. Be strong. So, as you cast your eyes on Him, as you look to Him, you know that He is there for you. The scripture says, if God spared not His Son, but delivered Him up for us all, how shall He not together with Him give us all things? So you can be strong only in Christ's divine power. My grace is made perfect in your weakness, the Lord says. So we can be strong, but only in the power of His might. As we look to Him, learn to look to Him for all of life's issues. Be strong. You can be strong. You can be brave. You can stand fast in your faith. And you can watch. Watch for sin in your life. What that is easily sets you down and pull away from that. The scripture says, flee from temptation. Flee. Not walk, not wait around, not let's see how can, whether I can overcome this or not. It says flee, run for your life. So I hope this little encouragement here, there is ample resources for us. We need to watch as Christians. We need to be stand fast. We need to be strong. We need to be brave. And the Lord is coming. Watch out for His coming. And the Lord bless His word. Let's pray. Lord God, we thank You that we can come this morning and thank You for Your word that pertains to life and to living. Father, we pray that You help us to not only listen, but to take heart and take notice that Your word is indeed what we could say, Your word have I hid in my heart that I will not sin against You, say the psalmist. And that Your word is a lamp to our feet and a light to our path. And the entrance of Your word gives light. And so, Father, we pray and ask for Your blessing that Your word will become ingrained in us so that, Lord, we will be quick to run to You, that we will have all the boldness, all the strength, because You are our fortress, our shield, our defender. So, Father, we thank You for such grace. We want to pray for others that perhaps they are considering the Lord Jesus, that we will not wait, but they will embrace and acknowledge the Lord Jesus, the Savior and Lord, because only in Him there is safety. So we pray and thank You for this day. Ask that You bless the rest of the day to us and the rest of the week. Let Your word not depart from us, Lord, we pray. In Christ Jesus' name, amen.